Aoife, I think you have a question for the poets.
I do.
Get ready for the question, Malcolm. It's going to be
I love
hard.
that it's like a question for
It's
the
very difficult.
When was the first moment your voice registered? Who did it register with? Then what happened?
I think I can go first here. I think the good thing about the way I was raised, as it relates to me being able to cultivate some kind of a voice to myself, is that I grew up in the Black church, and there were always reasons to get up. You weren't allowed to be shy. I mean, it didn't, if you could speak, you had to give an Easter speech, which means there were like 2 and 3 year olds, giving the shortest of speeches, but still participating. And there was always an occasion for which you had to be trotted into the front, onto the front of the sanctuary, whether it was a play or a pageant or a series of speeches. And, we heard poems as well as people recite, people would be reciting the 23rd Psalms, but people would also be reciting The Negro Speaks of Rivers. Young people, when I say people, I mean people from the age of 3 years old to 18 years old. And then there would be moments where you would be able to, you would be expected to write things, write the speech or write the play. You know what I mean? And there was this idea that you could just do that. And I think because I was doing that, because when doing something in public like that, there is an automatic reaction from that audience in particular. So you know when you're doing it right. You know what I mean? And you know, even when you're reciting somebody else's words, you know when your own soul is coming through, and you sort of recognize that through your soul meeting the souls of those people in that audience. And not just because they scream and shout and holler and wallow on the floor, which they do, but also you recognize it. And so I think I understood the power of language because of growing up in that environment. I understood that words could actually lead to that. And so that was the beginning. That really was the beginning for me, the Black Church, Mount Canaan Missionary Baptist Church, 1666 Austin Street.
Missionary Baptist,
Yeah.
though.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Lord, as you were talking, Jericho, that just made me think of all the time I spent as a kid in the church choir, in the children's choir and the regular choir, and that feeling of like going up to the center stage to sing your solo. That was definitely the place that I knew I had a voice in the sense of like a singing voice. And my grandma would play the organ for this little church, and we'd have to go out there and represent.
Oh, this is a very difficult question for me. And I don't know, I wonder if I would have arrived at this place if Jericho didn't go first with his story. But so I started like writing in the church. So how some people start like singing, like I used to write the plays. And they were very like Tyler Perry-esque plays because they had to be funny. And the church was a small Baptist church across the street from my grandmother's house in a black neighborhood, and the house where she also grew up when she was a child, I believe. And so hearing, being in a community that my family has been in for so long, there were a lot of stories. And my parents met in high school. So my grandmother like knows more, obviously she knows more about my dad than me, but like I was around people who like knew each other like for years and years before I came along. So I was always the person who was like trying to get the stories to put them on paper somehow. And I didn't know what that's what I was doing. But in the process of doing it, that I think it made me pay so much attention to how people speak, and then translating that into plays. And then also I was a child who was very sensitive and quiet. And my family is loud. And so Jericho is saying that, you had to speak, like you had to talk, and I was not trying to perform for anybody. And so I think as a way not to talk, I would like write a lot because I could like do that without people around me. But I didn't realize that that I paid so much attention to language so early on and like speech patterns until I left Savannah and went to Atlanta for college. And then I would come back. And then once I moved to Michigan for grad school, definitely it felt like I was Zora Neale Hurston going back home to like collect things to then make art out of them. I don't know if there was one specific moment, but it was like a process of registering. Mm-hmm. And the people that I registered with were like my family, I guess, and our history and culture.
I don't think people understand just how much, just how complex a system it was. You know, you mentioned that those choirs, like the church I grew up, there was a tots choir, a children's choir, and a youth choir.
Wow.
That's like, that's not even the choir. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And various Sundays, those are the choirs you might hear from. I mean, the tots choir is literally toddlers leading the service in song for the entire Sunday service.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? And you know, I always
love like a production.
I know who Emmett Till is because I grew up going to Sunday school. And I think that will tell you really, I mean, maybe not what the Black church is, but definitely what the Black church still was when I was growing up. You know, and you could do anything they wanted you. There was a way that whatever happened in the world, you did not have to experience it in the world. You could experience it in church instead. You could be on the bake team, the cooking team, the debate team. You could be on the rifle club. Like, you know, you literally could do everything that there was to be. The drill team. You could do everything that there was. The quiz bowl. I remember I was on quiz bowl at the church. So it was its own world. And you got your education, not just about God or Jesus. You got your education about Black history and about Blackness at the church in ways that I never would have gotten it at school.